Amrita.
Where that Vaikuntha representatives, Vaikuntha Dutas, were expressing the same thing, that in comparison to what Gopakumar had heard in Tapaloka about the merit of meditation, they straightened out the record. Because the residents of Tapaloka, they're not in Vaikuntha, they're in Tapaloka, and they're practicing the sadhana of meditation. So they're meditation fans. So they express correctly the glories of meditation. But the Vaikuntha residents knew that he had heard this and was attracted to it, but didn't stay there. Rather, his shelter was the holy name. So later on, when he met with the Vaikunthavasis in Shivaloka, they explained to him the superior position of chanting the holy name, having heard the Brihat Bhagavatamrita verses. There were two things spoken by them that we heard. There were many other things. It's a long section, very nice section. But the best of all of the forms of elevation and purification is the congregational chanting of the holy name. And then there was a qualifier. What was the qualifier? Can somebody remember? Upeksha. Remember that term? With the hankering or the expectation, the feeling, the expectation from the heart to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, to have a direct encounter with the Lord in that mood of humility as his lotus feet and serve him. Chant in that mood. So I'm going to recommend that as you hear things in the course of the festival of the holy name, you try to apply them. So, for example, we just had kirtan. We had sankirtan. And recognizing, so the application point is, this is where knowledge turns into realization. There's a gap between what we know and where we are, or what we experience. And something that helps to bridge the gap is to apply performing sankirtan with that great appreciation that this is the best of all forms of purification. We're going to go there again at the end of this presentation. But it's with a specific mood also. Through this medium, may I, upeksha, the expectation that I will directly contact the personality of Godhead, his lotus feet, and be in that mood of serving him through the medium of sankirtan. So when we have the next sankirtan, remember those and then apply those and see if the gap closes. And continue to apply and continue to close the gap and have Krishna bring you to his abode in the spiritual world, bring you into his direct contact. Because if that's what you desire, then Krishna will reciprocate. Yayatam mam prapadyante. And if you don't desire, Krishna will reciprocate. But if you do hear and you do desire, then you'll have some very special experience through application of things that are inspirational teachings from our great acharyas. So this is that same upeksha. And I thought a way to take from that point and go basically just expand on that nice point. Returning or restoring our relationship to Krishna. This in a phrase, turn to Krishna, or restore our relationship with Krishna. I thought one way to enter into this topic is to review a little bit the difference between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness, or Krishna consciousness. And the definition that Prabhupada gave is very simple. That which is directly from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the Chatur Sloki verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maya is forgetfulness of Krishna, and spiritual is remembrance of Krishna. Material is to forget Krishna, to not see things in relation to Krishna, which are in relation to Krishna. And then fill in the blank. You have material life. And see those things that are in relation to Krishna, which is everything, in relation to Krishna. And fill in the blank, and that's spiritual life. And especially powerful to assist us in regaining spiritual consciousness is the chanting of the holy name. A good definition, I learned this in the course of growing up in Krishna consciousness, a good definition is both inclusive and exclusive. So one way to look at the exclusive is what are the details of Maya, the anatomy of Maya. Well, there's like lots of different, just as within the anatomy of the human form, there's so many different systems within the anatomy of the human form. But one of the anatomy components is the elements. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives 8. Three subtle, 5 gross: earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. That's it. That's the package. Altogether, these make up my 8 bina, separated prakritir, ashtada, separated material elements. And in the Sankhya system, it takes that same 8 and it becomes 24. And here's how it becomes 24. I'll skip a lot of the very important preamble parts, but there's this pradhan. Here's pradhan. It's the sum total of all the material energy in its unmanifested state. And by the glance of Mahavishnu over pradhan, 2 things enter: jiva souls and time. And when time contacts this dormant pradhan, time, energy, agitates the modes of nature. And when the modes of nature become agitated, the modes of nature impel matter to move. And the modes of nature are moved by time and the living entity. So the first element that separates out of this undifferentiated totality of unmanifested matter is our dear friend false ego. It's the first one to come, and it's the last one to go. And then our dear friend false ego starts mixing with the modes of nature. when false ego mixes with the mode of goodness. Another dear friend, the mind, is manifest. False ego mixes with mode of passion and material intelligence manifests. And false ego mixes with the mode of ignorance and the five gross elements, same as in Krishna's list from Bhagavad Gita. But then the five gross elements further unfold into another 15. Those 15 are five knowledge acquiring senses, five objects of the senses, five working senses. So that's 15 plus 5 is 20. Plus false ego minded intelligence, that's 23. But there's 24 elements. There's one that's missing. That one that's missing manifests as contaminated consciousness. Because in the pure state, consciousness is concomitant with the soul. That's Prabhupada's term. I don't know what it is in Sanskrit. Concomitant with the soul, inseparable from the soul. Wherever you have a soul, you have consciousness. Wherever there is consciousness, you know there's a soul present. The blades of grass, there's consciousness, there's a soul present. There's a soul present, there's consciousness. They're inseparable. But the material circumstance is contaminated consciousness. So now back to the topic. Chanting from the heart is where we direct our consciousness to Krishna. It's called chant the holy name, Nam Sankirtan. Direct your consciousness to Krishna. And then the other 23 elements are seen in relation to Krishna, and that's spiritual. Senses, sense objects, knowledge acquiring senses, mind, intelligence, they become spiritually energized or spiritually activated by pure consciousness, by just by chanting the holy name. Chanting the holy name, where as the Brihat Bhagavatamrita discussion was presenting this morning, where there's a upeksha, or an aspiration, a desire, an intention to be at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, conscious of Him, serving Him in that mood, while in Sankirtan, and it carries over to all of the other activities, if spiritual consciousness or our dormant Krishna consciousness is awakened. So that's what we're doing while we're here at the Festival of the Holy Name. At least that's the intention that I have, and the intention for organizing this event or encouraging this event to take place. Others did the actual work, I'm just sitting here. But it means, so with that positive, with upeksha, your intention going to the personality of Godhead, bring the attention of the soul to the Supreme, it means letting go of so many other things. And we all have busy lives. It's not just those that go to the office have busy lives. Those that live in our temples have busy lives. Those that take the order of sannyas have busy lives. Those that are students have busy lives. Sometimes I'm amazed at how busy our students are. They go to work earlier, or go to school earlier and come back later than the parents go to work and come back from work. And then they have homework. And it's like so many years ahead of them until they, it looks like it's going to be over, but then it's not over. Then it's like, find a career. So we're all busy. And so this is the festival of the Holy Name, is to do a time out, leave that, and take up the taking shelter in the Holy Name. So that's just like the process of surrender that's described in Nectar Devotion, taken from Padma Purana. The first two items of surrender, Anupayasya Sankalpa Pratikayasya Varjanam, which means the same thing that I've just been saying. Those things that are favorable for taking shelter of the Holy Name, you say yes. And those things that are unfavorable, you say no. And especially during this festival of the Holy Name, make your best effort to leave. Best if you just like turn your cell phones off and all those kinds of things to get the maximum. There may be some things you have to take care of, but maximize bringing your attention to Krishna and letting go of those other things that aren't specific for that purpose of the festival of the Holy Name. And I wanted to illustrate all of this by the story of Maharaj Pariksit, which again, those that are not new to Krishna consciousness know the story, so I don't need to go into so much of the detail of the storyline, but I'll make some specific points. On the theme of this upeksha. So Maharaj Pariksit was a very great king, the son of Abhimanyu and Uttara, grandson of Arjuna, pure devotee of the personality of Godhead, installed on the throne following Maharaj Yudhisthira, so that Maharaj Yudhisthira could go join Krishna, and Maharaj Pariksit remained behind to rule the world. Maharaj Pariksit was such a great king that even before he did anything, he was great. Who can say that? Krishna personally came and extended his special mercy to one who hadn't even done anything yet, because of his dearness. And those who are dear to Krishna are those that have deep love for Krishna. He reciprocates with that love. So even before he did anything, and throughout his life, he showed his position, just like there's a whole chapter dedicated in the first canto of the Bhagavatam to what the astrologers had to say about this little child that had just been born. Whole chapter's worth of superlative descriptions of Maharaj Pariksit. By Krishna's direct arrangement, Maharaj Pariksit was cursed to die. And there are three reasons given. One is most common, and why this reversal took place. Krishna wanted Srimad Bhagavatam to be spoken. So he used his dear devotee, Maharaj Pariksit, as the one to receive it. And as a result, take him back to Godhead. Right in the crux of the age of Kali. Another was, it was the age of Kali. Prabhupada comments that it was not possible in the presence of a king like Maharaj Pariksit for the personality of Kali to even exist. And it was the age of Kali. So Maharaj Pariksit had to be removed so that the age of Kali could begin. So Krishna arranged for for Maharaj Pariksit to be removed. Otherwise it couldn't have happened. And another was specific to the age of Kali, just my hearing Srimad Bhagavatam during our retreat in Gitanagari, this was the theme. Srimad Bhagavatam, the light in this dark age of Kali, the cure for this diseased condition of Kali Yuga. So, knowing that just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, persons in this age of Kali would get shelter in religious principle and have the medicine to cure the disease of the age of Kali. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he was given the service by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to bring the message of Lord Chaitanya to the English-speaking parts of the world. And the message of Lord Chaitanya is the chanting of the holy name, Namo Mahavananyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate. But as we heard Badahari describing this morning, these days, lots of people do chanting or have kirtan. They don't have a clue what it is. Or they have many ideas. Some of them humorous, some of them not so humorous. They're chanting. They're experiencing something. But they're not getting the full benefit because their conceptions are skewed. Be nice about it. And therefore, Haridas Thakur says, in order to get the full benefit of chanting the holy name, one requires proper sambandha gyan. So Srimad Bhagavatam was translated by Srila Prabhupada before he came to deliver the message of Lord Chaitanya, the chanting of the holy name, because together, the chanting of the holy name combined with hearing and the glories of Krishna and having a clear conception of Krishna, the fruit, the full fruit of the chanting of the holy name could be made possible. So for these three reasons, the mysterious cursing of Maharaj Pariksit took place. It's not what the Sagar video says. It's what the Bhagavatam says. Those are the reasons. When Maharaj Pariksit heard that he was cursed to die in 7 days, what did he do? What was his shelter? It's very telling for each of us when some difficult thing comes, unexpected something. Watch to see where the mind goes. Where's your shelter? Maharaj Pariksit was very detached. He was doing what he was doing in service, but his service was service. It wasn't, yay, I get to be king. It was service. And when the call for service changed, very detached, he transferred everything to his very qualified son, Janamejaya, and went to receive instruction how to prepare himself with the 7 days that he had remaining. And when the sages had come, one of the two verses of what Maharaj Pariksit said to them, the first message is, don't worry. No need to do something to counter this curse either. I have this intention. I want to perfect my life. I don't have, out of fear of material existence, I want to take shelter fully of spiritual existence. He wasn't afraid of death. Here's what he writes or says. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of both the transcendental and mundane worlds, has graciously overtaken me in the form of a Brahmana's purse. Due to my being too much attached to family life, which he wasn't, but that's the sign of his greatness, is his humility. In order to save me, the Lord has appeared before me in such a way that only out of fear will I detach myself from the world. Then he asks them, the sages, two things. I pray that if I should take my birth again in this material world, that I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees. What's the third thing? If you had, like, you know, an opportunity to have a request of sages that could grant whatever it is that you want, and the two things that you asked already were unalloyed devotion to the personality of Godhead in whatever your future situation might be, and association of similar-minded devotees, what third thing can you want? He has a third thing, and it's important for our spiritual lives. Friendly relations with all living beings. The nature of compassion and affection, friendly dealings, like we hear of the six Goswamis, Dira, Dira, Jana, Priyo. They were liked or considered Priya, very dear, by both those who are the gentlemen ruffians, Prabhupada translated one time. Those are spiritually minded and those that are worldly minded. And the worldly minded people generally are envious of others. But one who doesn't want anything, how can you be envious of them? They weren't envious of him. Because they knew he didn't want anything that they had. They didn't have to guard themselves against these Goswamis. And then he requested them, please instruct me what I should do to prepare myself, or what people in general should do to prepare themselves to meet death. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes there was in that assembly of sages there were many different opinions, and they started quarreling amongst themselves. It was Kali Yuga already. They were quarreling amongst themselves. No, it's this one. No, it's that one. Rah, rah, rah. And then Shukadeva Goswami came. And after offering his... All the sages stood. They had never seen this 16-year-old before. But just by his coming into their assembly, there was the sense of his presence, and they all stood to offer their respect to a 16-year-old. And these are all, like, learned, elderly, big beards, big hair, you know, the whole thing. Sages. But his presence was so strong. Immediately they all accepted him. And after duly respecting him, Maharaj Pariksit asked again the same two questions. What is it that I should do to prepare myself? What is the duty of someone at the time of death? And what is that subject matter that one should Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Dyeya Pujascha Nityada? hear, chant, and always remember. What's that subject matter? Those two questions. And that ends the first canto, Bhagavatam. And Shukadeva Goswami hasn't even spoken. And one canto's gone already. We say Shukadeva Goswami was the speaker, but he didn't even talk till the second canto. And when the second canto begins, there are several verses that are introductory, where Vyasadeva is glorifying, and then Shukadeva Goswami is glorifying the questions of Maharaj Parikshit, because they're for the all-around good for everybody. And here's a person who's about to die, and he's thinking about everybody. That's part of his greatness. And I'm headed for text 11, but text 5 is the preamble, and text 11 is the echo of that preamble. O descendant of King Bharat, one who desires to be free from all miseries, must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the Supersoul, the Controller, and the Savior from all miseries. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyasya Dyeya Pujasya Nityada. Shrotavya Kirtitavyasya Smartavyas Chaitchitabhayam. Another verse. Chaitchitabhayam. One becomes fearless, because death is coming from Maharaj Parikshit. You'll become fearless if you hear, chant, and remember about Bhagavan. Who is, why? Because he's the controller. And nothing can harm you if he protects you. And he's Hari. He can take away all miseries. He can take away all fear. He can take away everything that is inauspicious. Just take shelter of him. Come from that position of darkness into the position of light. That's the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, and that Srimad Bhagavatam is that light. It is the glories of Bhagavan. Bhagavat Purana. That a few verses later, Ekan nirvidyamananam ichitam akuto bhayam yoginam dripa nirnitam harir namanukirtanam. The emphasis right away by Shukadeva Goswami is the importance of chanting the holy name. Constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge, similar to akama, sarvakama, mokshakama, udaradi. There's a theme now in the Bhagavatam that says it doesn't matter what your position is. From whatever position, that is to say, there's not a prior qualification, an eligibility that says you have to be something. You have to be a spirit soul, and there has to be some desire to be situated in a relationship with Krishna. And chanting is the means to help us, but that our consciousness needs to go there. Even if one's consciousness doesn't want to go there, we're eligible to chant. But the full benefit will not come until that other interest awakens in just read a part of Srila Prabhupada's purport, Etan Nirvidyamananam. In this verse, Shukadeva Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. The Brihat Bhagavatamrita story that we heard reference to this morning, that was Gopal Kumar's position. He was an obscure nobody. But he returned to Goloka Vrindavan, and he didn't even know where he was. He was trying to figure out, where am I? And when he went around asking people, what is this place? And who's in charge here? Nobody would even talk to him. He thought, these people are really rude. Why won't they even talk to me? And he went around, and everyone looked the other way. They would just like, wouldn't pay attention. Finally, he got somebody to answer. Where is this place? It was an old lady. She said, this is Goloka. And the person in charge, he's away right now. He went to the forest with the cows. So everyone is feeling such pain of separation. You can't get them to respond. But very soon, around this time of the day, you see in that direction, you see all the residents rushing towards the forest, because that's the place where Krishna is going to come from the forest. But before you see him, you'll hear the sound of his flute. And then you'll see the dust rising into the air. That's the cows. The dust from the hooves of the cows. And then you'll see all the cows. And then you'll see the cowherd boys. In the midst of the cowherd boys, then you'll see Krishna. And she fell silent. Gopal Kumar ran! And when he saw Krishna, he practically lost consciousness. He kept trying to run, and it was very difficult. And Krishna saw him. And Krishna ran to him. And they embraced, and they fell to the ground, unconscious. Tears were streaming from Krishna's eyes. Balaram came over, and he chastised Gopal Kumar. You caused Krishna to lose consciousness. Get away. Krishna regained consciousness. He stood up, and again he embraced Gopal Kumar and said, where have you been for so long? I thought you were going to come back, but you didn't come back. And then another lifetime, and I thought you would come back, but you didn't come back. And then another lifetime. It's taken you so long, but finally you come. That's from Krishna's side. So from our side, upeksha. Sadhana bhakti with some upeksha, some hope. Not just chanting, but chanting with that strong desire. Let me be again in my relationship with Krishna. So now let me read from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. This verse answers, this is how he begins the commentary. That's a sutra. There was a question. There were two questions. What's the duty? What's the subject matter? This verse answers. Amongst all the angas of bhakti, there's nine mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing, chanting, and remembering are the three chief ones. Shrotavya, Kirtitavyascha, Dhyaya. Of the nine, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying, three are most prominent. Chief ones. This was stated in verse 5. Amongst those three, chanting is the chief. Stated in Harer Namanu Kirtanam, text 11. Amongst those, in chanting, however, there is chanting of the Lord's name, chanting of his qualities, and chanting of his pastimes. Amongst those, Anukirtana is best. In Haridas Thakur's teaching, Harinam Chintamani, this starts with Nama, we heard this morning, Vadahari made reference. Nama Rupa Guna Lila. From Nama, the others come. Therefore, Nama is the best. And from chanting of the name, Anukirtana is best. This means chanting of the name according to, parentheses, Anu, one's bhakti. Or chant with feeling. There is chanting because you're supposed to chant. And we're going to hear tomorrow. That's a good place to begin. Chant because you're to chant. Lord Chaitanya's instruction, so we chant. Even if I feel that I'm chanting mechanically or without feeling. But chant with feeling. And then connect that feeling to your natural devotion for Krishna. That's just using this term again, upeksha. That hankering, the intention of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the holy name and serving the holy name by that chanting. Again, remember, if there's things that you hear that you can apply next time we have Sankirtan or you chant some more japa today, apply these things that you're hearing. These are instructions from our acharyas to help us make the gap less from where we are and what we know. It is defined near nitam by the previous acharyas, not just by me. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is referring to Shukadeva Goswami, and he's referring to Vyasadeva, the father of Shukadeva Goswami, saying, this isn't just my opinion. This is realized souls. But this is his qualification as an elevated Vaishnava. He's humble. He has the full qualification, but he's not resting upon his qualification. This is the qualification of those who are qualified, of the opinion of those that are qualified. Therefore, there is no need of inquiry for proof. What's the proof? No need. In chanting, there is no fear of purity or impurity concerning time, place, person, and utensils. Meaning, Shubha Ashubha Palayaneva Mokshase Karma Bandhanai from the 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. What's the prior qualification? how pure do you have to be in order to chant the holy name effectively? There's no prior qualification. There has to be sincerity. That's Rupa Goswami's teaching as well. What's the eligibility for devotional service? Which means pure devotional service. What's the eligibility? You desire it. You're sincere. Not so-so. Sincere. And if you're so-so, that's how Krishna will reciprocate. The exercise of this festival of the holy name, and for that matter, every day we chant japa or have Sankirtan, we'll have a nice Nama Yajna this evening. It'll give us a wonderful opportunity, like a launching pad, and just go off into the holy name, where the holy name is everything. And when the holy name is everything, what else matters? We may attend to other things because they're for Krishna's service, but that's the connection. It's in service to the holy name, because the holy name is everything. When you're in that mood of absorption in the holy name. This means that even outcasts who cannot tolerate serving the Lord do not hesitate to chant. We experienced it yesterday evening. Even the police officers, they were chanting. Did you notice? They were going, give me one of those things. And he was looking at the card, and he was going along the thing and saying the mantra, and they were saying the mantra with him. Yes. And, you know, the other people. People sitting at the cafe, and people doing the jig, chanting Hare Krishna. Even outcasts who cannot tolerate serving the Lord do not hesitate to chant. Moreover, there is no good, better, and best for sadhakas and siddhas. Chanting is for those who are indifferent to all desires, including the desire for liberation. Nirvidyamananam etan nirvidyamana. So those are the transcendentalists. But supposing someone isn't a transcendentalist, no problem. It is for those who desire things. Ichitam. Such persons can chant, just as they make offerings for certain goals. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. No, yeah, the home by the beach, Om Jaya. Health and wealth and castle by the sea, Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. I've heard Bhakti Chaitanya Swami is a little different, like a television. Second car, castle by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha. Such persons can chant just as they make offerings for certain goals. Thus, the meaning is as follows. It is recommended for the unalloyed devotees, nirvidyamananam, for those who desire svarga and liberation, and for those who are satisfied in the self, yoginam. This means that according to these different methods, one will get corresponding results. Parentheses, not the same result. Because as we surrender to Krishna, he reciprocates accordingly. But it's the essence for all those three categories, akama, sarvakama, mokshakama, the essence is some contact with Krishna. Tivrena bhakti yogena, or harir nama anukirtanam, anu, following the ways of kirtanam. So we're each of us, we're sadhakas, we're practicing sadhana bhakti, and we're making a declaration to Krishna. by being here and by the activity that we're doing while we're here, focusing on the holy name. The declaration to Krishna is, I want to restore my relationship with you. I'll go into this a little bit more detail hopefully later, but a little outline of japa. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu has made a classic, brilliant Ravindra Swarup Prabhu statement of an outline of japa. And it goes like this. We have a relationship with Krishna. All living beings eternally have a relationship with Krishna. We're in this material world because we turned our back on Krishna and walked. And Krishna was calling, and we kept walking. Without the whole of the outline, what were those reasons? Certainly they weren't good reasons. They were very unreasonable reasons. Like, people ask the question, why would a living entity do something like that? And the answer is, there isn't a good reason. So don't look for a good reason, because there isn't one. But some reason, some relationship reason, where there's some, give it a nice name, misuse of free will. But there's some attitude problem that we have. Krishna doesn't have. We have. I was, during earlier the month of June, mid-month of June, I was in Seattle and we had a japa retreat. And one devotee shared with me right at the very beginning of our 64-round day. That they had a realization. Then they later shared it publicly during the, you know, at the end, the next morning. And it fits in completely with this message. This devotee said, I have a problem in my relationship with Krishna. And I was just silent listening. But I was thinking, we all do, otherwise we wouldn't be here. You're fortunate and you recognize that you have this. But I can only go so far. And at a certain point, I feel something. From my side, I feel some resistance. And I can't go any further. And then it's at that point that my japa starts to get mechanical, dry, desert, down, valley, all those metaphors. And I don't know what that is. What should I do? So, we have a number of options. And one option is, you can take a walk again. Say, no thank you. Or, do a time out, which is, you know, almost the same thing. Or you can face whatever that uncertainty is and request Krishna to disclose to you, reveal to you, what is that uncertainty? What's the issue? Because I know gratitude says it's not from his side. Our acharya is described like this. Because we had this wish, this impossible wish, that we're independent from Krishna. Knowing that, Krishna doesn't interfere with that wish. He creates a situation where we can think that we're independent from him. It's called material life. But he's so loving, he stays with us, and he hides himself inside our hearts, reminding us from within our heart, this isn't a position of happiness. But at the same time, giving us intelligence how to have our material life program. The material intelligence that gets separated out of pradhan happens because of becomes Krishna, and he continues to monitor it according to our guna and karma, our desire and our deserve. But all the while, gently, lovingly, he's giving us the message, please come to me. Like Bhaktisiddhanta writes, the transcendental autocrat is forever inviting the fallen conditioned soul to come to him in a eternal loving serving mood. Unfortunately, the rebellious soul is apt to indulge in those very same things that bring him misery. He doesn't change despite our attitude, our, as they say in Italian, I learned that from Madhusevata. Attitude. He doesn't waver. He doesn't interfere. But from his position, he doesn't waver. And he sends his representatives, he sends his messages, he sends the holy name. He's giving us every opportunity. And as we heard Badahari's presentation this morning, we're very, very fortunate. Our lives were unfortunate, we've become fortunate, and now we're chanting. And now we're trying to go beyond mechanical chanting to chanting from the heart. And the operative principle is this upeksha, that we want to be in that relationship, not just chant, and our mind is on things, seeing things separate from Krishna and trying to be the enjoyer of those things separate from Krishna. Somehow, piously and subtly, but still, you know, like holding on to being the enjoyer. Mood and spirit. So the call is to let go of that and turn instead to this one thing. It's a very happy thing. It's a very nice thing. Just be in a loving relationship. Bring our consciousness, leaving behind the contaminated one, bringing our consciousness to Krishna in the form of kirtan or japa or sankirtan. Any form of the holy name, festival of the holy name. That's what we're here for. And whatever the position is, doesn't matter. New person, in between person, older person, younger person, experienced person, even, you know, all the bugs around here. Spirit souls benefit from that. And individually we can take benefit by being in the association of other sincere souls who are... it's a good service for you to try to sincerely approach the holy name, and it's a good opportunity to be in the association of those who are similarly doing that, because the presence of Krishna will be felt. And as we heard this morning, amazing experiences. Because of time, I'm going to leave off another point and I'll bring it up later. I think it'll be helpful. Okay, any discussion? Here's Subal with the portable microphone. Any comments or questions over there?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thanks for taking my question. When we chant japa, I've heard that the mind, I've heard that some will allow their mind to think about Krishna in his lila as they're chanting. And I was wondering, you know, as we're chanting with our heart, as you said, I wanted to know your thoughts on that, and should we guard against using our imagination, or, because there's, I don't want to go too long about this, I want to be very concise.
Okay, I get the picture of the question. I'll refer you to the last chapter of Harinam Chintamani, where the Acharya for the chanting of the holy name answers that question. So I'll be speaking as best I can to present his message. The message is attention should go to the holy name. Something that helps inspire your attention going to the holy name may be the glories of the holy name, like Shikshastakam verses 1 and 2, for example, or some particular prayer to the holy name that helps open the heart, calling for the mercy of the holy name, or the devotees who are the deliverers of the mercy of the holy name or the pure holy name. But attention goes to the holy name. Haridas Thakur says, in sequence, then Rupa, the form of the holy name, the form of Krishna, may appear in your heart. When the form of Krishna appears in your heart, the tension shouldn't go away from the holy name. Then the qualities of Krishna become revealed in the heart. His merciful nature, his loving nature, his jovial nature, his nature, his qualities. Attention shouldn't go from the holy name. Then the activities of the personality of Godhead will be revealed within one's heart. Within one's heart, Krishna will perform activities. Not just one day in Vrindavan, Krishna did something. But the activities will be enacted within one's heart. But one's attention doesn't go from the holy name. It's the nature of things spiritual that within that something that's preliminary, that which follows it and that which follows it and that which follows it is included, but that which is initially the entry into that which follows it and follows it isn't lost. The contrasting example is a seed. Let's say you make, from a seed you make a sprout. So when the sprout sprouts, the seed is gone. And then you have a sprout. That's material. Something spiritual, the seed isn't gone. The sprout is there, the stem is there, the leaves are there, the flowers are there, the fruits are there, and everything is there. The original thing isn't lost. That doesn't happen in the material world, so we can't really think of it. It's in contrast to this material world. So similarly in the spiritual world, the access into the spiritual, into Krishna's pastimes, literally into serving Krishna, now and eternally, is through the holy name. So attention goes to the holy name. So that's the first part of your question. And the second part is, I wouldn't recommend it. You know, let your imagination go and see where it goes. Rather, take shelter, follow the instruction that take shelter of the holy name. Feel that shelter. Appeal for shelter. Shelter in the holy name. Let your thoughts, your mind, your energy, your concentration, your intelligence, your everything, your life and soul go there. Okay? Right in front?
Hi Krishna, I'm having some trouble reconciling this upeksha, this longing for direct contact, with the realization that I am supremely disqualified, and that even Srila Prabhupada was, he said that he was the servant of Krishna, I believe,
Oh, yes.
So then, as someone who is aspiring to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Srila Prabhupada, where is this picture fitting?
And sure.
How do I
reconcile?
Yeah.
Sure. Two things. There's no question. Well, perfect. It's two things. The desire to achieve that is the desire of our founder Acharya or any well-wisher. A real well-wisher, Prabhupada would sign his letters, you're ever well-wisher. A real well-wisher is one who wants that for you. And since he wants that for you, it's his desire for you, you operate on that principle. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have the notion what to speak of the desire, what to speak of the effort to act in that way. So it's not, there's no, from a spiritual perspective, there's no way to separate the two. I'll say the same thing in the opposite way. Once Prabhupada was asked, Srila Prabhupada, is it okay if we pray to Krishna, because I don't want to jump over the spiritual master, should I just pray to the spiritual master, or is it okay to pray to Krishna? And Prabhupada laughed and said, can you think of Krishna separate from the spiritual master? Can you think of the spiritual master separate from Krishna? Yes, it's okay. On the authority of your spiritual master, it's okay. Because it's the wish of your spiritual master or any well-wisher, it's not jumping over or apart from or separate from. It's by the mercy of, under the instruction of, by the empowerment of. And otherwise, so it's not the spiritual master is to be seen as a transparent medium to Krishna. A transparent medium, Prabhupada gave this example. He removed his eyeglasses and said, the eyeglasses are a transparent medium. He said, the seeing is direct. The seeing is through the transparent medium. But through the assistance of the transparent medium, then I can see. So Krishna is there. We can't see Krishna. Or as we heard this morning, you know, the presence of Krishna is not felt, but it's the desire, it's the transparent medium's desire to directly experience Krishna's presence, become Krishna conscious. And that's his service to Krishna, is to assist those that can't see to see Krishna, or can't experience Krishna to experience Krishna. Those are feeling disconnected from Krishna to feel connected to Krishna. That's the transparent medium's service to Krishna. The seeing is direct, but through the medium of the transparent spiritual master. Jai Jagannath.
Thank you, Maharaj. I had a few questions. I'll try to ask mine.
Package deal.
Is Adhyabhu Peksha, you may have already discussed this.
No.
Okay. Is Adhyabhu Peksha sound very similar to Ashwala Panda over here in Pekka Village?
It's similar to Sankalpa also.
We know from the Nectar Devotion that Ashwamanda is a quality of one situated on the top.
So yeah, therefore it's a different term.
Right, so there's some. Obviously, there's something different going on there. So I wonder, my question with that as in the backdrop is, how is it possible for a sadhaka to chant from the heart? Or what does that actually mean?
That was a whole class. Should I do it again?
It's
a cultivation from a seed to the mature fruit and all the stages in between. It's a cultivation. Bhakti In the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, Nectar Devotion, Prabhupada writes that bhakti is a sort of cultivation. And that sort of cultivation is anushilana. That's his rendering of that term from Rupa Goswami's verse, anushilana. Anu means to follow. And shilana means, shila means behavior. So we follow the behavior of the perfected souls. Those that are on the bhava platform, we can't imitate them, but we can strive. We can aspire, we can follow. It's the immature that becomes mature through association.
How strong does the desire have to be? Because I desire.
What's the barometer? When does the bell ring?
Yeah, because I have so many desires.
At whatever stage, the answer I would offer is, at whatever stage you're on, work from there. And, you know, we're all at different stages, and that's fine. Whatever stage one is, hear the message, Shrinvanti, Gayanti. I felt something. Grinanti. And then work with that. Whatever that is. The answer to your question is whatever that is, when it touches the heart. And it may be the desire that it touches my heart. And maybe the desire to have the desire, to have the desire that it touches my heart. Whatever that is, work with that. Bhakti is not, you know, the bell rings when you hit a certain point of trajectory. It's that whatever the stage, that's the message that we just heard Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explain. And going back to the Brihat Bhagavatamrita message that you did miss this morning, chant with that upeksha at whatever the stage. Seed begins to germinate, little sprout, whatever the stage of fructification is, from whatever that is. Universal. Up here. When you put your hand up, right here. When you put your hand up, you have your hand up.
Maharaj, you're discussing the no qualification for chanting the holy name. There's no distinction that anyone can chant. How do we understand that in relation to the process of initiation when one's said they're receiving the name? In other words, can one chant properly before initiation?
Well, here's a short answer. If you're Shukadev Goswami, no problem. If you're not, good to get initiated. Little elaboration on that. Through the submission that takes place at initiation and the acceptance by the disciplic succession and Krishna through the process of initiation, Prabhupada's explanation is the empowerment, the fullness of capacity is enriched from our side. Another way of saying the same thing is it's a formalization of that empowerment. So before initiation, anyone can chant. And if you're back again, full circle, if you're Shukadeva Goswami, that's all you need. And if you're not Shukadeva Goswami, the recommendation is, because everything, Krishna is full, and Krishna is, this is right from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Lord Chaitanya says, the holy name is fully independent. The holy name doesn't need anything. The holy name can act, all potencies are there. Which the implication is, he says specifically, one doesn't need Purva Samskar, but one doesn't need any Samskar. You don't need anything. You just need the holy name. The potency is there from Krishna's side. What about from our side? We need a little help, more than a little. And that the channel, the conduit for that help, is the merciful representatives of Krishna in disciplic succession. That's the help we require. And initiation recognizes the formal acceptance by the disciplic succession. Here's all the mercy. Now, whether we have, how many hands do we have to receive it all? That's another thing. What's our capacity to receive that mercy? And it's dependent largely upon our submission and our eagerness, as it does before initiation. What should one do when, while chanting, remembrance of hurtful instances come to mind that lowers the determination to continue chanting? Well, this will be answered tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in a detailed way, but I'll give a short answer. Keep chanting. And then another one of the, because it's going to be the nine keys. We've done this before, but we'll do it again. It will help you when we have our 32-round day on Monday, but it'll help you every day when you chant. Just chant, and then neglect the mind. And then comes the yeah buts. Yeah, I try to neglect the mind, but it's so powerful, Maharaj. I mean, like, okay, keep neglecting the mind. Even it's so powerful, because more powerful is the holy name. Spirit, which is stronger, light or dark? Light. So move to the light. Yeah, but it's so dark in here. Okay, that's a good reason to move to the light. Yeah, but so if one continues to take shelter of darkness, then one will stay in darkness. And if you take shelter of light, you'll get light. And it's this operative principle of free will. What do you? You're not disqualified because you're in darkness to go to the light, but you have to want to go to the light. And to go, want to go to the light, you just take doable little steps towards the light, and you'll get there. Just keep going. More on tomorrow morning's nine keys. Anyone else? Yes? Oh, okay. Haribol.
Haribol, Maharaj. Alright, I've noticed, I have been chanting a long time. And
how long?
Not long enough.
How many years you've been chanting?
I would say about 30 years.
30 years?
Yes. Okay. And during that time, what I found out for myself was I got the most out of chanting and the greatest feeling and the greatest realization when I was engaged in very intense service to my guru. So until I got into that service, in that mood, I mean, service to the point where it just takes over you, what you're going to do today, what you got to do to serve your spiritual master. And that's when I got the greatest realization in my chanting. So I just wanted to ask the connection. It seems that one has to, perform some kind of service, and the more intense the service, I think, the more intense my realization was. So, that was my experience. And I think people can just chant, but if they don't get involved in devotional service to a guru, that they can develop a loving relationship, or I think there's a connection between chanting.
My response is amen. Amen, brother. For the Indian audience, they may not know what that means. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Or, as they say in England, hear, hear. But here's a thought that two thoughts. One is chanting is itself a service, because sometimes service eclipses chanting, which is a mistake. The first service is chanting, and from that first service of chanting, all other services come, and if you neglect that one primary service, other services will shrivel or, you know, and disappear. And another is it's part of, like this question we heard about trying to contact Krishna, but what about the spiritual master? What about Prabhupada? Part of a relationship with Krishna is a relationship with his loving servant, loving devotees. So how can we have a relationship with Krishna without his loving devotees? But that, using this word intensity several times, the intensity is the love. It's not necessarily, it's not like how fast you can spin the top and do more 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 and you're dizzy. The intensity is not how fast you spin. The intensity is the degree of devotion that you extend in that service. My experience is that when you Krishna reciprocates with your desire for service in such a way that he always gives you more service than you can do. That's my experience. But you want to do what Krishna gives you to do, so what do? You take shelter of the holy name and try to do that service, and the capacity to do service increases, and then in a very humorous way Krishna increases the service. And then repeat. It just keeps going on like that. But it's not a point of, you know, at some point you're going to burst. At some point you'll actually become attached to Krishna. And that's the intensity. That's the real intensity. It's not the volumes or how fast you spin. But it's the attachment to Krishna. Guru and Krishna. And that can continue in the physical absence of your Guru Maharaj as much as in the physical absence of Srila Prabhupada for his disciples. Because there's, you know, it's just as your Guru Maharaj, there was one thing for him, Prabhupada. He sacrificed his life for Prabhupada. Do anything for Prabhupada. He wouldn't do anything if it wasn't for Prabhupada, and anything for Prabhupada, he would do it. And you're his disciple. You follow him. That's intense. It's attachment. It's love. That's intense. And then capacity grows. More service comes, and so on. What do you think? Amen, brother. Okay. Question up front? Subal? Who had their hand up? You had your hand up? You have? Right here. Anything from the ladies' side next? I'll call on you next. Go ahead.
Maharaj, towards the end of the lecture, you were mentioning how we should have, I mean, during chanting, we should only have the sole desire to walk away towards developing a relationship towards Krishna, with Krishna.
Yes.
The picture that you're talking about.
Yes.
So, like, I can imagine, like, when I go back from this retreat, like, the first 2 days or 3 days, I have the motivation to do that, like, to sort of very
good. Like, good. That's 3 days, 4 days more than today. I know where it's going. when the bucket starts to become empty, what do? Fix the holes. That's what you do. Did your bucket have holes in it? Yeah. That's why. You fix the holes. So, where is attention going other than Krishna? And draw it back. Under the control of the self. That's what Krishna's instruction is. So take that instruction. Work with that one. And it's called abhyasa. You know the meaning? So, fix the holes. And come to the next retreat and fix the holes. Just keep practicing. It's cultivation. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilana. Accept those things that are pleasing to Krishna, and you continue to cultivate like that. And you continue to cultivate, and you continue to cultivate, and you continue to cultivate, and you continue to cultivate. And gradually, the bucket doesn't leak so much. Still leaks, but not as much. Just keep practicing. There's something to learn from the leaking bucket too. You know, like what desires are starting to grow over here. That will tell you where the leak is. Watch it. You know, just watch it happening, and you'll see. Oh, I want something independent of Krishna. Anything from the ladies' side? Yes. Krishna reciprocates.
Sometimes, I know it's unfortunately, in the temple, it's always the Chicago temple, people gossiping and having jealousy, anger, gone, cold, and all these things. While chanting, what is your advice to me? What should my reaction be?
What should you do?
What should my reaction be? I feel myself so insignificant as, you know, I know what to say to devotees for any chanting.
Correct. So that's what you're not to do. Now, what are you to do? Well, here's a few little, like, rules of thumb. One, be very careful, guard against fault finding or criticizing in your mind even. So don't go there. So that's a do not. Another is look inside yourself. This is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's instruction. Look inside yourself. Where is this deficiency inside me? That's, you know, something I don't have any control over. This is something I have full responsibility for. Is there this tendency inside me? We'll just go back to the first one. There's a very wonderful description in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Krishna Das Kaviraj is taking instruction from a pujari. His name is Badahari or Panchatattva, the one that advised him to, instructed him to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. Something like Haridas. Haridas Pandit, sounds right. Haridas Pandit, I think. He's described by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami as, by saying, not only he was pure in his devotion, he would never hear anyone speak anything against another devotee. They didn't dare, because he would not hear it. He was so much respected that they wouldn't say it, even if they felt it. His heart, so it's described also in Nectar of Instruction. One whose heart is free from the tendency to find fault in others is on the topmost platform. So avoid it. It's because it'll bring a block in your own heart. It'll bring offense, anartha in your own heart. And instead, internally, look inside and see, where is there this tendency inside me? What can I do in my life to become more pure? Let me just go a little bit further. If here's something that I do. Here's a situation. If Srila Prabhupada was in this situation instead of me, what would happen? Would the situation improve? Would it stay the same, or would it get worse? That's an easy one to answer. It would get better. And what's the difference? Purity. So the service that's needed is over here. Because if I was more pure, the situation would come up. The problem isn't over there. The problem is over here. Prabhupada came in the midst of people that were, and he brought them up by his purity. So if I want to be of benefit, let me make this more pure. The third is, if there is something that I can do, let it be, let my mood be a mood of service. Not a mood of correcting, not a mood of controlling, not a mood of something other than a mood of service. Anything other than the mood of service, that's my problem. And that's not going to help whatever that is that may need some attention. So those are three things. Uh-huh. What's our schedule? When are we supposed to end? Okay.
Same
response.
Okay.
Look inside, and if Prabhupada was standing in my sandals, if he was here with this person, what would happen? So the need is over here. It's not so much what you say as much as this is how I think. It's personal purity. Each person is a representative, not just somebody else's, but each of us, we act as representatives of our disciplic succession. And if to our capacity we can serve, to our capacity, purity is the force. It's not so much what you say, it's as much as, so let the desire be a sincere desire. As I'm hearing, it's a sincere desire. And then take that sincere desire to a heart that's very pure. And then you can, so you pray with sincerity that this person or these persons or whatever and then they have a relationship with Krishna also, as do you, as do each of us. So they're making some choices in their relationship with Krishna, as are you, as are each of us. And you know, we can be their well-wisher and invite them. But they have their relationship with Krishna. We can't interfere with that. We can be part of that by their well-wisher and whatever degree of purity that we have. Bring them prasadam from the temple. Bring them pictures of the deity. Bring them new books that are published or something that may inspire their devotion, spark their devotion. Subal, it's okay. What you're bringing up is the very point of that I made during this presentation. We all have a relationship eternally, not just people that came to the temple once or used to come and stopped. All the living entities have such an eternal relationship with Krishna. Some have come closer, some are still more distant. Just on Harinam last night, we were, you know, there's all types of people. So one well-dressed lady came and joined the Harinam. And she was chanting along with all of us, standing with all of us. At first it was, we were moving, and then she came and she was chanting. She was completely enthusiastic. Where did that come from? I don't know. I don't think she's ever been to our temple, but something awakened. And she was chanting just like a kid, and very happy. So we all have some relationship. We have an eternal relation with Krishna. And some persons are moving from it, some persons are moving towards it. That's choices that they're making. With so many, it's not just one, so many circumstances of life, we can't live their life for them. We can be their well-wisher and pray to them and try to become a better instrument of Krishna. And then there's so many other living entities that are coming and some going, and we're not the controllers of them. They have their free will that they're acting on. Let us each individually become as pure as we possibly can. So I'm thinking it'd be nice to end with kirtan. Can we do that? So 10-15 minutes. And when we're having kirtan for 10-15 minutes, take something that you heard. Turn toward Krishna is one. Jiva Goswami writes in his Bhakti Sandarbha that how the living entity comes into the material world tells us how the living entity can get out. What's that doorway that we came in? The doorway is we turned our attention away. So turn your attention again. So when we're having kirtan, you can think of, turn your attention to Krishna.
Bring your consciousness.